Come on, fucker, go. Go.
The hammer is back. The hammer. Oh, the hammer. Oh, man, I couldn't take enough of that hammer, man.
God, you sound like you have a massive erection in your pants.
And Thor's pretty good, too.
Oh. Wait, I remember Loki having the hammer. I mean, okay. He's the best part of the movie, but...
That hammer. I'm going to tell you something right now. That hammer deserves an Oscar.
Why?
That hammer.
It's not like the hammer like had a voice to it where it's like, well, hi there, Thor! Are we going to go kill some elves today?
Did you see it fly around the way it did? It did its job, right? It did its job, man.
That's true. And it, like, I want to see someone do like a recut of this with the hammer where just every time you see it flying, it's like, ah!
Yeah, put a little, like, a car putting to his face on it or whatever, and just winks his eyes at you and shit like that or whatever.
Or the Charlie Brown scream. Ah!
We talking about Thor, the Dark World, or whatever, the sequel here, the Marvel Contender, which I just read right now before we started, opened up Thursday night, 7.1 million.
Already?
You remember last week how we said 1.2 for Ender's Game was pretty good opening for Thursday night? Yeah, I think that's actually kind of shit now compared to 7 million on a Thursday night?
Yeah, and, well, now we get into discussions about Thor, because, of course... All the critics are like, well, it's good. It has a certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. But all of us nerds have been like, this might be the kink in the armor, no pun intended.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't. I'm just saying. This is what it's been going around on the internet. So this is a discourse that I had going in.
Okay.
So.
Thor here, plot, whatever, Stark's voice. It pretty much picks up right after the Avengers. Well, opens up with Anthony Hopkins playing Odin, giving a story of the Dark Elves and how his father stopped them and everything. And then pretty much picks up right after the Avengers of Loki and Thor taking off Loki and held in chains. And what was that ooze called again? It was called Ether, was it?
I don't fucking remember. I gotta be honest with you.
Okay, I think it was Ether people, or whatever. No, it was there. It's a blood or whatever. And it was activated again because Jane found it, obviously, while looking for Thor. And Thor, of course, he's gotta bring that hammer down on him, baby. He's gotta get him hammer time. He gotta do a Tyrese Walking Dead on him and hammer time their ass right away. That's pretty much all right. What do you want?
You just had the slip of the Walking Dead into this, didn't you?
And the hammer had to come down, and the hammer had to. I was like, hey, man, I think Walking Dead did the door with that hammer in that last episode. Whatever. So it was reckoned for this to be all one now. Whatever. It must be Hammer Week. I think
so,
Hammer might be in town.
So for the casual audience, here's a more simplified story. There's bad people. They want something in Jane for... They don't really explain how it gets in the Jane, but it's just in her. Just go past it.
Actually, they do explain it.
Oh, did they? Did I just miss that?
Yeah, you did miss it, whatever. What it does is it feeds off the hosted and bodies, whatever, and pretty much takes over their molecules and stuff like that.
Okay, alright, I did miss that then. That must have been when I went to the bathroom. So, that happens. So, Thor pretty much has to save Jane and the whole universe from elves! Black elves!
Mm-hmm, there actually is a black elf, too.
Yes, the leader of the elves is black.
Yeah.
Racial epithets aside.
And then the other guy, too, the one that became, God, I forgot what they called those elves, too, where you pretty much have to kill yourself to become an even stronger elf or whatever, and you absorb this power or whatever. He was an actual black guy. I was like, wow, they ramped up their diversity in this elf thing. Or I even saw an Asian one somewhere.
Yeah, but, I mean, I gotta be honest with you before you start getting into this. This is the weakest Marvel film. Out of everyone in the cinematic universe, this, to me, is the weakest one.
I don't think so.
What do you think? Is Iron Man 2?
Probably Iron Man 2. Yeah.
Okay. And I fully admit, it could be the fact that I like Iron Man more. Like, I just like the character more than Thor. But to me, the problem with this one really lies in the fact in that it's just... There's not really a strong villain in this one.
I thought the villain was there to serve his purpose, either more else or whatever.
Yeah, that's really it. And when you're coming off the first one, when you have Loki, who was such a great villain in the first one, you kind of get this villain where he's just, you said it best, he serves his purpose, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, but the difference between him and Loki is set up for something bigger because he's a bigger one in the comics. Malekith's never really that big of a villain or whatever. I mean, I don't think Marvel wants to bust their load with huge villains like that. That's why they did that thing with the Mandarin or whatever. I don't think they want to bust their load so quickly because it's like, hey, we don't want you to get burnt out in these solo films because we want you to know Avengers is still coming.
That's a good point. But
so, I don't want to put in a strong villain like this and be like, oh, is that it they're going to do with him, whatever? I mean.
And it's also, like, there's also this thing where, to me, the first third of the movie, it's a little, I don't know, it was very slow paced in the first act. The second and third
that was slow paced?
Yeah, I thought it was a little slow paced because
it opens up with a badass fight scene.
No, not that. I mean, after that badass fight scene.
Yeah, it's not a badass fight scene.
Not really. I mean, I'm talking more like when you see Jane, Stellan Skarsgård, Kat Dennings, like all that is just like, oh.
Once Jane gets taken off Earth or whatever, the stuff you talking about, that lasts for like a minute or whatever. I mean, I don't think it was slow at all. Whatever. I thought the pacing was pretty fine or whatever. The only problem I had with the movie or whatever is whenever it went up to Earth and Thor was on screen. I was just like, yeah, I don't care what Stellan Skarsgård, is that the actor's name? Or I forgot.
Yeah, Stellan Skarsgård, that's the actor.
Stellan Skarsgård, Kat Dennings, and the new boyfriend, I guess, whatever. Or it was just them three on screen. It's like, how you cut that out or whatever. That didn't need to be here. Now it was like at least five times in the movie. Like three times in the first half, and then two times in the second half, whatever. Because the second half was mainly the Thor-Loki thing.
And, right. And the Thor and Loki moments are great.
One thing this movie did do is, far from the sequel, the first one, which I was shocked by because in the first one, you got a glimpse of Asgard. You got a little hair shots, but in this one, it made it seem like Asgard was infinite. I was like, God damn, you make this world so much bigger than what it was. I was like, this is amazing, whatever. I love this one. And they spent so much time on space in Asgard, too, in the second and third half of the film, whatever, where I was appreciating that even more. I was like, and then every now and then, I think that was the two times it kicked back going to Earth or whatever, and I was just like, you don't need to do that. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
There you go. Go back to Asgard. I like that now, whatever. I don't need to follow Stellan Skarsgård, his little crazy plan or whatever.
Did that not seem forced to you?
Which one?
Sasgard's character and his whole arc. Did that not seem forced?
Yeah, because they were trying to seem like, because he was possessed by Loki, obviously, in Avengers or whatever. Like, he's kind of crazy now, whatever. People are crazy now. It's like, yeah, that comedy doesn't work real quick or whatever. I mean, the comedy you have here going with all the stuff that's going on in Asgard or whatever. As a matter of fact, whenever Doris or any of the Asgardians are not on the screen, that's when the movie is like, okay, I don't want to see the part or whatever, which was mainly the Stellan Skarsgård, Kat Dennings, and the boyfriend part or whatever.
And that's what I meant by the slow pace. That's where that movie drags to a damn halt for me.
Talking about doesn't drag, though. It's only like a minute, so...
Well, it may seem like that to you, but it felt longer to me. Like, it just felt like every time they were on screen, it was like, oh my god, just get off this. Get back to Thor and Loki.
Yeah, I just saw the movie earlier today again. So, I timed it this time. So
fair enough.
It isn't that long. Just saw it early this morning, whatever. It is not that long, whatever, when it gets to those. Whatever. You'll see those parts, whatever, happen for about a minute or two, and then they'll vanish and it gets right back to Thor and Loki. So,
Thor and Loki parts are great. They really are. I mean, the writing on that is top-notch.
Loki sells that shit. I mean, Tom Hiddleston, man, this guy is such an amazing actor. You can tell he loves doing this shit or whatever because he is... He's embodied what Robert Downey Jr. has for Iron Man. It's just, you do not want to see anyone replace this guy or whatever because you can tell he loves his job. And I was like, and I love him on screen. Oh, and by the way, we forgot to mention, there's a cameo in here and it's the best cameo ever. Captain America, better than any two movies you've ever done, whatever, because that was the funniest fuck. Remember when Loki turned into Captain America?
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
Because Loki is just like, I guess he had a little bit of the comic book style into him or whatever, in his character, and for if I transform, and he kept changing things or whatever, turned into Captain America, and I'm like, why is that suit better now than Disney?
Yeah, it's like, but every time, like, when he did that, when he turned into Captain America, I was like, huh, oh, I just realized I'm more excited for Cap 2 than this.
Loki, you make a great Captain America too, then. before Thor shut his mouth, whatever, he was just like, God bless America.
Yeah, no, the funniest part to me was when they're flying the ship. They're all of Asgard. They're just fucking everything up, and Loki's just constantly fucking with Thor about it.
He's talking like, as soon as Thor frees him from prison, that's all he does is just toss. He's like, he's just pissing Thor off to the point. It's like the Javier Bardem to the James Bond, you know?
It's weird, because like, we learn about, since I'm in school right now, we've been learning about character archetypes, and we learned about this week the Trickster, and he is the ultimate epitome of the Trickster, because that's all he fucking does.
Yeah, he really stole it away in this movie. Whatever people were saying, it wasn't enough of him in Avengers or whatever. Well, you go see this movie. There's a lot of him, and he's shining on screen every time he's in. Whenever him and whenever that last thing where him, Natalie Portman, and Thor was interacting with each other, I was just like, this is fuck. Even the part where Loki was interacting with his mother, or whatever. His mother is just a minor character. You know, I don't give a shit about her. But like her and him talking together, I was like, it's actually. He's kind of humanity back into
Loki. That's a thing. I actually like that scene a lot. Like, that was one of the scenes that stuck out to me because it gives Loki, like, that kind of anti-hero establishment because it shows that he actually has human characteristics because it shows that he does care about his mom.
Mm-hmm. One thing I got to disagree with people, because I've been hearing this about everybody, and we even talked about this last week. They say it's the funniest Marvel movie, and I'm going, I don't think it is. I still think that it holds Iron Man. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to beat Iron Man. It's even hard to beat the Avengers because the Avengers was so funny. I mean, I see the humorous parts in this. It's a lot of sarcastic and ironic humor.
Yeah.
But it all kind of comes from one character. It all comes from Loki.
Yeah.
Because Loki is the one that just constantly makes you laugh because of the shit that he says, and it's because he's fucking with people.
And I would say he did that for like a good. I mean, as soon as Thor frees him from prison, it was that, and then the scene of him right there. Other than that, after the jokes was off, because it was action scenes or whatever, and it was pretty much done with Loki. I was just like, I don't see why people thought this was the funniest one. No, Iron Man still holds up to Iron Man 3 for me.
Yeah, what I did find funny is that when they go to free Loki out, I was getting Silence of the Lambs like vibes, because it literally looked like that, where it's like, Thor might as well lock down, and he's just like, hello, Thor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, him and Thor, they sell this shit, like, as if they really fucking had a drink. Because when they were crying over the mother, or the death of her and stuff, Loki gets that bass in his voice. I was like, man, it's like stage acting shit.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you know what? That is the thing where I talk about the first act, second act, and third act. It really, the second and third act is where stuff for me starts happening. Like, when the mother dies. That's actually a really impactful moment, and it's one of those things where you see it, you're like, oh, shit, now even Loki's on this thing of like, yeah, fuck these elves, they're going down.
That's about, like, people, about 30 minutes into the film, you see Thor's mother die, Stephen Jane, and it was funny as fuck, cause I started laughing because Thor runs in there and frogs his fucking face up like he goddamn Harvey Dent or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
The fighting in here was badass. I was loving each action scene. Once again, Marvel did it again with the action scenes, especially last act two.
Oh, hell yeah. All the action scenes in here are fantastic. And the fight scene in London, it really, like, I don't know where they thought of that, but it really, what I do like about these second phase Marvel movies is that they're getting very creative with the final fights.
Oh, yeah. That actually got me pumped up for Captain America. Guardians of the Galaxy even more or whatever, just to find out how they're gonna wrap it up, because I think that's probably my favorite part of phase two, and that's how they wrap these things up. I know people didn't care for Iron Man 3 ending, but I was like, oh, that was the most unique action scene I've seen on.
Well, it's not only it's the most unique action scene, it's like with the Iron Man that ending, they kind of dropped the mic on that whole series. It's like, what do you do now? And everyone else were like, fuck, that was good.
But did you not get that in this movie too, though?
No, not really. The only way I did, because, okay, let's get into a little, let's talk about the ending here. Because what happens at the end is that you think that Loki sacrifices himself to help Thor win.
Yeah, because he think turns on him first, which they had like a little plan set up, and then, like you said, Loki ends up killing him, but took out that badass elf in a badass way too, if I'm going to say. And you think he died, and when Thor saves all of Earth, he goes to talk to his father, because he's committed treason by freeing Loki and disobeying orders and stuff. it looked like he was handing over the hammer for a little bit. I was like, are they doing Iron Man 3? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I can't do this anymore. It's like, the fuck you can't? There's two Avengers sequels coming out.
I said, this ain't your third movie, Thor. It's your second one. You would pick that hammer back up. And Anthony Hopkins was like, nah, I'm not. I'm gonna fuck you keep that. I need to get another check. It's like, Anthony Hopkins, man. That motherfucker thought, I'm not saying this is me. That motherfucker actually thought he was Odin.
He's getting crazier and crazier in every movie. I'm convinced.
Motherfucker, I'm telling you right now, he was on stage. He's like, I am the father. I was like, okay, tone it back down now, Odin. Anthony Hopkins, you're not Odin for real life. But I bet he sleeps with that fucking costume or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And what I love about the end of the movie is like, father, here's my hammer. Oh no, you keep that shit. But why? Because you know I'm gonna fucking die either through insanity or I'm gonna die of old age. So you need to keep that. Make sure Asgard's okay.
You know what? Going back to the question you just asked me, of saying which one's the weaker film. Now that we just got done, not even got done, but a little talking about it, whatever. Even Iron Man 2, because I had to talk to whatever. I honestly don't think any of them is weak, if you ask me.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying out of all of them are good to great films, but...
This is what I'm putting in for that, then. I think all of them, as far as... excluding the Avengers. I'm not including the Avengers. The Avengers is my fucking mind. Whatever, they have this done, whatever. But all the solo ones, whatever, I'm not saying this as a negative and as a positive for me, whatever. I thought they all did what they needed to do and were on par with each other as far as being that... with delivering what they should deliver in their roles.
All right, I agree with that.
I'm gonna say Iron Man 2 is the weakest side of it because I still enjoyed it, and I think it's still a good Iron Man film, even a segue for Avengers, if you will, or whatever. And for 1 and 2, Captain America himself, oh shit, I don't know if we include the Hulk in that, but
yeah. And that's the thing, like everything that you say about Iron Man 2, like it's a good Iron Man film. It's just like there is problems with it. That's how I feel about this. It's a good Thor film. It's just I felt it could have been better. And
I would agree with you.
And that's really where my criticism comes in, is that there's glimmering hope that there is a better movie in this, and then it's just dropped, and you're like, oh, come on.
So now, if you just, because you know, Josh, we came in to rewrite some of the stuff.
Yeah.
What parts did you feel he came in and rewritten some of the stuff?
If I had to be honest, I think it was most of the Loki parts.
Okay, I thought so too. It was more towards the ending or whatever, because I just when I heard the director say, I don't have the ending wrapped up and a little bit of the middle or whatever.
Oh, no. The director's pissed about the after shoots.
Yeah, he pissed about the after shoot, but before that, though, he was talking about before it was done, he was like, I need some rewrites done to it or whatever, ending and all that stuff, because he said it doesn't feel like it's completed now or whatever. I need that. And to fly that, Josh Whedon can get some of that in or whatever. And there were some moves in there where I thought some of the Earth scene might have been him, too. And I was like, I hope to God that wasn't him. Because, like you said or whatever, those Earth scenes, I could do without. They could have been taking those out or whatever. It would have made the movie at least 10 minutes shorter.
Yeah.
If not, it pops up about 5 times. And then...
And they're kind of useless if you think about it.
No, they were. No, they were absolutely useless. They were useless. Whatever. Looking at it at the same time, I was like, there was no parts for these needed, whatever. I mean, is Kang really going to be that important of a character here for, you know, basically, these movies are setting up for us for another Avengers movie. Is this person really going to be that important for what's going on?
And that's that's a good point you bring up, because I would have liked at least some mention of Thanos or something. And then, like, what happens at the end? There's two stingers that they have for credits. There's one where Thor goes back to Natalie Portman and is like, I'm going to bone you with this hammer. And then the other one... is, you see, is it Sif? Sif is her name?
Oh, by the way, Sif's a badass in this movie, too.
Oh hell yeah.
Before you get into that, too, I gotta recommend all the Asgardian women, at least, whatever, not so much Kat Dennings, or whatever. Kat Dennings, what she needed to do, her job, whatever, but I didn't like it. But anyway, I thought women here were great in their action scene. The mother was the one that stood out the most to me, though. I was like, that bitch is a badass, too, though.
I agree.
You saw how she kicked Kim's ass? I was like, all right, now I like her or whatever.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And that's actually one major strong point out of this movie, is that they actually have a strong woman in here. Huh, what a fucking shocker.
Well, you know, the funny thing was, is I thought the movie took a different tone once that scene happened and she died.
I agree. I completely agree. And that's one of the things that does keep it interesting. But the other stinger that does happen at the end of this is that Sif and one of the other of Thor's kind of free friends, they go talk to the Collector.
Yeah.
So
that's their handing game off.
Right, and that's the thing. Like when I see the collector and you see Benedict Del Toro, it's like, wow, he actually does look kind of good.
Yeah, I heard some complaints on that they didn't like that stinger or whatever. They said it looked the effects and it looked cheesy shit. When I first saw it, I was like, okay, let me prepare myself. I'll back Guardians of the Galaxy will look whatever as far as this thing goes. And I looked down, like, it's not that fucking. We don't really see shit for it to be like people were like that shouldn't even been in there. Where I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's the thing. Like when I see the collector, it's like, oh, that doesn't look bad. And it's like, but that means they could have done connections to Thanos, and then they just didn't. Oh.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
True. And that's the thing. It's just my nerdy side coming out, being like, oh, I kind of wanted to see that. Damn it.
Another thing is they were handing him off an Infinity Gauntlet. Not the Infinity Gauntlet. One of the an Infinity Wars. Another thing about those stingers, I felt like they should have been switch-flopped.
Yeah, I agree. So I think we've talked about everything that we need to talk about. You got anything else or no?
I guess going back to the ending or whatever, once again, Marvel just outdid themselves with the ending. I actually like the they know how to make these action endings not seem I guess cliche isn't the word I'm looking for, but at least a little bit different tone as far as like you don't expect this guy, you know this guy.
There's thought put into it.
There's thought, yeah, exactly. There you go.
I give it more of a low C just because those parts on Earth, they're unnecessary and they really did kind of pull me out at first.
Oh, and seeing it 3D IMAX too.
Oh, yes, agree. And those parts on Earth for me, it kind of pulled me out of the movie a little bit, and it caused the movie for me to kind of get off like with a stumble. But then, like you said, once it gets to Asgard, it really does pick up. So it's more of a low C for me because I really do think that those Earth scenes, those could have easily been taken out.
You know what? Another thing too is the shit that they were talking about for Rise of the Guardians, whatever. Seeing how Asgard and all the other worlds were looking, I was just like, I'm nowhere near concerned about the Guardians of the Galaxy. I was like, have you seen Asgard? Look at this shit. It is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. No, I agree. So we get to talk about that next year. But now begins the hype train for Captain America 2.
One other thing. I want to give credit out to where I never give credit to. Idris Elba actually did something worthwhile for one.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention him.
That motherfucker, he's like, he's coming. He pulled out two blades and I was like, that fucking run.
There you go. See? Now he's back on your good list. How do you feel, P1?
Hopefully. If he can keep this up with Mandela, then you know what? Then maybe I'll just back off for a little while until, you know. But other than that, just keep bringing that hammer door.
Exactly. And until we see Mandela, that's for another time. Will he like Idris Elba? Will Thor redeem himself in the Avengers? Will Captain America answer all of our questions about the Avengers 2? Find out in upcoming weeks of movie spoilers. Good night, everyone.
And Marvel. Marvel.